News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Let's bring in the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney. Minister, look, we're here primarily to discuss the Northern Ireland Protocol and the EU's suggested changes to that. Just before we get to that, just while we're talking about COVID, can I ask you, look, you're part of the government that's going to have to make a call on the October 22nd restrictions. How concerned are you by the briefing from NEF at the kind of figures that are coming out?
Well, look, we expected that the figures would increase. The question is whether or not they're increasing to a level that means we have to reevaluate the removal of restrictions. I mean, that's the question that I think the Taoiseach has posed, the Taoiseach has posed as well. There's nobody in government, like, let me reassure both of you, wants to move away from the plan to remove the vast majority of remaining restrictions on the 22nd. But we do have a responsibility to listen to the experts, to look at the science. And if there's a significant spike that is sustained, well, we can't ignore that. If we have almost 400 people in hospital, almost 70 people in ICU, we have to make sure that we have the capacity going into the winter to be able to respond to that in our hospitals, to make sure that other people who are sick also have space. And I hear Ciara's frustration. And I think the government will be slow to move away from the plan that we've outlined many weeks ago. But I think this is essentially a warning shot that there is still a significant level of COVID infection in society in Ireland. It has been there right the way through the summer. It hasn't increased significantly. But in the last week or so, it's up about 12%. We have to watch that closely. And, you know, like at every point during this COVID pandemic, sometimes the government has to make the right decisions, even if they're unpopular, so that we actually can plan for, you know, a winter that is manageable from our health service perspective and also keeping people safe. So, you know, we do have some of the best vaccination rates on the planet. We're the second best in the EU.
Don't seem to be helping us with the infection rates.
No, but it's helping us significantly. With the link between infection rates, the number of people in hospital and the number of people in ICU beds, we have a far stronger defence than most countries have.
Okay,
but we also have a significant amount of COVID in society, and we need to watch that closely.
Just, and I do want to move on to matters relating to the protocol. Just before you go, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, so are you effectively saying, look, ideally we want to continue as we're going with the reopening, and it's obviously too early to make a final decision yet, you listen to the evidence, but it is possible restrictions won't be lifted on October 22nd?
It is possible that some of the restrictions that are due to be lifted may not be on the 22nd. Of course, that's possible. I still think the government wants to move ahead as planned, but we will, of course, listen to NEFID and the public health experts in government, and we'll make, you know, we'll make decisions on the basis of the data and the science. That's what we have to do. We have a responsibility to do that. We can't just ignore something because it's not popular. To move in a direction.
Fair enough.
But I mean, I think let's wait and see what happens over the next week or so, because what we've seen is a short term spike in numbers, we'll have to see into next week whether that's sustained or not before we can make informed decisions.
Okay, let's talk about the European Commission's proposals to ease the implementation of the Northern Ireland Protocol. Pretty radical, I think most people would say, most independent observers would say, it's pretty radical changes being proposed. I have to put it to you, though, there's zero chance that this is going to be accepted by the UK government. And it begs a question, which I also want to put to you. Does Boris Johnson actually want a deal on this, or does it suit him to let the EU be the bogeyman forever?
Well, I mean, I raised that question at the start of this week, and, you know, I got a very sort of sharp response from David Frost when I did. But I think the EU is asking themselves that question because, you know, it was very clear to everybody that the EU were going to launch a major package to try to respond to legitimate concerns that have been expressed in Northern Ireland by business leaders, by the unions community and so on. Everybody knew that we were going to launch, as an EU, we're going to launch on Wednesday evening a major package to try to respond to those concerns. And the day before, Lord Frost decided to make a speech in Lisbon, which essentially moved the debate away from solving practical problems on the ground to raising the new red line issue of the ECJ for the British government. And, you know, I have to say, you know, from speaking to business leaders and political leaders in Northern Ireland throughout the summer, the key issues for them has been trying to facilitate smooth trade, to remove restrictions, to guarantee access for medicines, to try to look at the governance and consultation and oversight issues to give more of a say to people in Northern Ireland in the context of how the protocol works in the future. And all of those things have been responded to very comprehensively by Vice President Sefcovic. And, you know, I just think it's a strange tactic. We know the British government doesn't like the ECJ being the final arbiter for EU rules as they relate to the functioning of the EU single market for goods, as it relates to the protocol. But the EU has been very consistent and clear on this, and that is why the British government accepted that reality in an international treaty in the withdrawal agreement.
Okay.
And they're now trying to rewrite that when the EU is really stretching itself. And like, let nobody be under any, you know, illusion here. This has not been an easy package for Maroš Šefčovič to get agreement on across the EU.
No, I'm sure.
There are many people see this as the EU stretching itself beyond what is reasonable. But he is and has been consistent in saying that he would respond comprehensively to genuine concerns outlined to him in Northern Ireland. And
okay.
He's done that. I mean, on medicines, right, we now have a crystal clear guarantee for Northern Ireland.
We do. We do. And I think we know what's in the package.
But just to say, like, in one sentence, what the package does, you know, for food products, we're reducing checks by 80%. And for customs checks, we're reducing by 50%. I mean, that is a major response to the concerns that have been outlined.
Two quick questions on this, Minister. Are you disappointed then, given how radical this package is, that Geoffrey Donaldson seems to have rejected this deal?
Well, I mean, he hasn't rejected it. I mean, he said it's a start. I mean, I think if you look at
pretty much poured cold water on it, didn't he?
Well, yeah, but that's not a huge surprise. You know, the unionism has been under huge pressure because of the protocol. In terms of the practical interruptions to trade from a Czechs point of view, but also there is a sense within the unionist community that certainly has been expressed to me very strongly that the protocol, you know, has an impact in terms of the sense of many people's identity in Northern Ireland as British people. And, you know, so I can understand that the response from the leadership of unionism, who are under a lot of pressure on this issue, is cautious and isn't as fulsome and as positive as we'd like it to be.
Okay.
I'm sure they're also speaking to the British government, whose response to this package, you know, has been lukewarm. But they say that they'll take it seriously and will engage.
Okay.
So, you know, the EU has made it very clear. This isn't a take it or leave it offer. This is a basis now to start a serious discussion to try to, once and for all, agree a package of measures that can settle the differences on the protocol.
Which brings me to my final question on this, Minister. I'm reading Pat Leahy's analysis piece in the Irish Times today. He quotes a senior government official involved in Northern Ireland affairs telling colleagues on an almost daily basis that the Conservative administration in Westminster are vandals when it comes to the Belfast Agreement. Do you share that view?
No, I mean, I don't think it's helpful for me to use that kind of language. But what I would say is that the British government needs to think about the benefits of partnership when it comes to the joint responsibility that the British, Irish and Irish governments have towards the peace process and the Good Friday Agreement. And we have not seen that partnership in recent times. You know, so we are working on that. I'm working on that with the Secretary of State. We have to find a way forward, for example, on how we deal with the legacy of the past in partnership together as two governments, working with parties and victims groups in Northern Ireland. And we also, I think, have to try to work together as best we can on finding sensible and pragmatic solutions to the implementation of the protocol in Northern Ireland.
Right,
the British government knows that the protocol is not going to be rewritten or torn up and replaced with something else. This is about implementing an international agreement, international law, in as flexible a way as possible to respond to the concerns of people in Northern Ireland.
Final question.
And that's what we have to focus on. And if we don't succeed in that, the consequences are really significant and negative for everybody.
Okay, final question before I let you go, Minister. This day next week, you'll be heading north to that event, the partition event in Armagh. The Labour leader, Alan Kelly, says politicians shouldn't attend the event. The Social Democrats say the government shouldn't go. Sinn Féin says the government shouldn't go. Fianna Fáil backbenchers are reportedly unhappy about this. You seem to be in a minority in the Dáil in actually believing you should attend this event.
Well, I mean, this is a decision that the government has made. I'm the line minister, and I've been asked to attend on behalf of the government, along with the chief whip, Jack Chambers. I believe it's the right decision. You know, the government speaks a lot about a shared island, reaching out to people who have a different perspective to the perspective that I have and people in government have here. And this is in my view, a sincere effort by the four Christian churches on the island of Ireland, including the Catholic Church, to bring people together, to reflect on the last 100 years. This is not a commemoration.
Michael D. Higgins
doesn't think
so.
And it is what this is. Well, I'm going on the invitation that I received, and it makes it clear that this is a reflection on the last 100 years, including the hurt and division and pain caused in that period. With a view to looking forward with more optimism. And, you know, Michael D. Higgins, I understand his reasoning, and I've spoken to him at length in person about this issue. And
Do you understand, or do you just have to say that?
No, I do understand it. But he is a head of state, and he has to make a decision as a head of state. I'm a member of government, and we work on a day-to-day basis with many people in Northern Ireland from very different perspectives and views of history. And I believe we should be able to stand together in a church to reflect on the pain and the suffering and the difficulties of the last 100 years, and to commit to making the next 100 years very different and a lot more positive. And I think that's the right thing to do.
Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney, thank you for talking to News Talk Breakfast.